This is HDN.
Hey, welcome to the Beaver Bank Bunker on the road today.
What exactly is the Believer Bank Bunker, anyway?
That's the Beaver Bank Bunker added whipped cream vodka.
There you go.
Thank you for introducing that to us, by the way.
We are out. We've taken the show on the road. We are at the Jenkins Cottage, Erica and Donnie Jenkins.
You betcha. We're up here along the Northumberland Strait in the small little community called Tony River.
Mm-hmm. It is absolutely stunning out here. Right on the beach, beautiful sand. You can actually see Prince Edward Island in the background. This cottage has been in the family for
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate to have it. Mom and Dad picked it up back in 94.
Just to let everybody know, for those who are not familiar, Donnie, what is your profession?
Yes, tell us, what do you do for a living, sir?
I happen to be a Halifax Regional Police Officer who, for approximately the past 14 years, has been assigned to our Community Relations Crime Prevention Division, which means I promote the awareness of and the prevention to not be taken advantage of as a victim of crime.
Right.
And you've done that many times on the radio with us and on this podcast as well.
Yes, I have actually.
So tell us what happened to you. Oh, and by the way, we haven't... Our regular dogs are not here. Instead, we have
brought
the Jenkins
in stunt dogs.
Pugsley. Pugsley the pug. Hi, buddy.
And as if on cue, as soon as you said Pugsley the pug, he walked very calmly out from behind the hammock there as if to say, yes, hello, I'm on stage now.
Yes. Thing about pugs is they it was perfect casting for that Men in Black.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
Because they are little aliens. They're little faces, I'm telling you. Anyway, back to what we were saying. Yeah. So tell us what happened to you recently. Actually, let's let Erica tell us what happened. That way she can tell us the true story and she won't fudge it to make Mr. Crime Prevention sound better.
Because this really is a cautionary tale for all of us.
It all started when our youngest son.
It all started. That's like Snoopy. It's a dark and stormy night.
Dark and stormy night. Okay.
Once upon a time.
It all started at a computer
screen. Okay, guys, I do not do this well, so get off my back.
I mean, it started out very innocently with him doing something that many of us do every single day, and that's shop online.
Absolutely. And he borrowed our credit card to purchase a ticket to Montreal through Expedia.
Okay.
Which was all well and good.
Sure.
Should be, because they've got that little graphic with the lock with the S on it, so that means it's secure.
The whole bit. Mm-hmm. Well, this past weekend, Don and I went in different occasions to use our MasterCard, and it was blocked. We couldn't use it. So, of course, Monday morning, I get on the phone, MasterCard, and they're saying, actually, there's a security problem with your card. We're going to pass you on to the security team.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the security team, and they said someone purchased a ticket through WestJet. The name on the ticket did not match the name on the credit card, so they canceled the ticket and informed MasterCard that there was a problem.
Well, good on WestJet for doing
good
that, first
of
WestJet.
All. Good on WestJet.
Yeah.
After multiple phone calls back and forth and in and out, my son got a new ticket with WestJet. Mm-hmm. But he kept saying the price was wrong because his price was $350 approximately, and he ended up almost $600 for the ticket. So I informed him, you know, this is now two tickets he owes me money for, almost $1,000. He said, I only bought one ticket from you, Mom. I said, what about the one for United Airlines going to the States? He said, I didn't buy a ticket with United Airlines.
Uh-oh.
The plot thickens.
The plot thickens. So I get on the phone because I had already canceled my MasterCard.
Exactly. Once all
the
shenanigans
began. Because that's what you
do
when you think there's any shenanigans going on. Yep. You cancel it. I get on the phone and I tell them that there is a charge for a flight to United Airlines. No one in our family has booked a flight with United Airlines. And as far as I'm concerned, it's fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So they pass me on to the fraud team. We have a lovely little chat. They said they will pass it on to whoever investigates these things. Be prepared for a phone call. Blah, 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 blah. That's lovely. So I'm thinking, I'm going to go back through my statement.
Yeah.
Right through to when the original ticket was purchased. Went right back to June 20th, realized the original ticket wasn't with WestJet. It was with Porter. So even the WestJet ticket was a fraudulent use of my credit card.
Who got a hold of your credit card information and how? That's the big question.
We really don't know. It is suspected that it was through Expedia.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where I fall into this, because whenever I book a ticket online or whatever, they say, for future use, would you like us to keep your information on file?
Yes.
And I usually say yes, because it's really nice to log in there and have everything come up, including the credit card.
I've been married to a police officer for 30 years. That is the one thing I never do.
Yeah, I mean, this is the big deal. I mean, you guys are very vigilant. And
in fact, Dawn, you
do not like the concept of online shopping at all.
Absolutely not. I like the idea of face-to-face transactions. Mm. Anytime you're discussing anything that deals with finances and or personal confidential information, one-to-one in a recognized institution with a recognized representative. Mm. That's my preference.
Is this the right time to point out that it was your security that was breached here and not mine, Dawn?
That's quite all right. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is a laughing at
can,
my
Can
expense.
I also there say neener, neener, neener to you?
This is coming from Mr. PayPal down at the end of the table.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. And so far, well, now we put this out on the podcast. You watch. They're going to walk away with my... Nobody wants my identity. That's the thing. If you have bad enough credit, people won't try to take it.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, when it comes to fraudulent use of people's information that is intercepted, that is received through some sort of technological means, it is one of the most ultimate ways to commit a faceless crime. Mm. There's some person sitting in an unknown location who's been able to breach the security of an organization, and they have gleaned someone's information unlawfully from it for an unlawful purpose.
Yeah.
Let's face it, folks, we hear from time to time, it's on CNN, the Pentagon, the State Department, some places right around the world that deal with national security, they're hacked. They're invaded unlawfully by people.
Yep.
So the fact of the matter is, little Erica and Dawn Jenkins' information out there, like bazillions of other people's information, while we do have organizations that make the very best effort to secure our information with them to prevent unlawful access, it happens for the simple fact that there are people out there who will put out just as much effort to unlawfully do things. So it happened to have been the victims of this. And in reality, the only way that we truly found out about this, in addition to the diligence of WestJet, thank you very much for finding this, and as well as the credit card company that froze the card to make sure that no other unlawful transactions took place, is the fact that we took the time, whether it was through our own volition or through circumstances, to check your records. You must be diligently, on a monthly or bi-monthly basis, check all of your transaction records to make sure that anything that is taking place is in fact taking place because you want it to, and it's with your knowledge and consent.
Mm, guess what? That credit card statement they send you every month, it's more than just a coaster.
It's a protection, big time. It makes a big difference.
And a lot of us opt out of that and
of
say, oh yeah, we'll just take the online.
So where were you going?
They did not tell us.
That's
too bad. You could have just shown up at the airport and claimed your tickets.
Actually, Dawn, as a police officer, would you be able just to show up at the airport and whoever tried to get on that particular flight to apprehend them?
If we had the information that dealt with the what I will firmly believe to be the false identity of a person in a specific seat, the whole nine yards, you've got the information that is registered of a particular person in a particular seat on a particular flight, you bet that person will be dealt with. Because that would be our suspect at the time.
Yeah.
If we have a suspected information of, once again, a particular person using our information unlawfully, and we do see eventually a person who identifies himself as such and such and so, you bet we're going to knuckle onto that person, and the investigation is... Tally-ho, giddy-up, go.
Mm. So what are the two main ways that people can protect themselves from this type of fraud?
I realize the computer, the internet, telephones, they provide a tremendously convenient and efficient way for us to conduct business transactions. A one-to-one business transaction at the travel agency where you are in the recognized business with a recognized representative, that there is an infinitely greater chance that your information will never be used and abused. That's probably the number one best way, because that way you're not having the confidentiality of your information just tossed out there in the electronic age where ne'er-do-wellers might just be able to do what exactly happened to us.
Now, having said that, you know that the age that we live in, you're more or less going to have to do online transactions at one time or another. So what are some ways to keep it as safe as possible?
You know, to head it off at the pass, you have to check once again your monthly statements. You cannot let too much time go by. And this is also for a very self-centered reason. Well, first and foremost, we want you to be able to get your money back. And there's many checks and balances in place with travel agencies, the airlines, the credit card companies, that they have a vested interest in your finances, that they want to protect it. So if you may have to sign affidavits, you may have to talk to people on the telephone, but the greatest percentage of the time, the victim will get their money back from the travel agency or the credit card company or what have you. Make yourself much more well-informed as to technology. Make sure that once you throw your information out there, you find out from the company you're dealing with that they're not going to keep it on file. Don't give anyone permission to keep it on file. Make sure that it is, in fact, deleted after that transaction, that you also clean out your history. You're deleting all this information.
Right.
So that there's not going to be any lingering links or any other paths that cookies, yes, which you haven't made any for some time, actually.
Speaking we're of waiting. Which.
Actually, Lisa made banana bread.
Yes, banana bread. I'm looking forward to that. That's great.
But we all digress.
We all digress.
Well, then, Don, when I get to the checkout in a lot of sites, it says, hey, would you like to sign up as a member or would you like to continue on as a guest? Would you like to check out as a guest? You're suggesting go as a guest. Don't sign up. Don't keep your information with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Re-input your information every time that you need to and then delete it afterwards. Mm. Once again, you throw your information out there. In the electronic era, it's out there. Yes, it's supposed to be with an organization that will promote itself as being safe, secure, respecting the confidentiality of your information. But I alluded to the Pentagon earlier. We've heard of banks. I mean, the ultimate people that have the greatest liability over our finances.
Exactly.
It happens to them. It can happen to anyone based upon the determination of the criminal, their technological knowledge, and whom they are, in fact, targeting at the time.
Right. Now, here's an observation that somebody online made, and I want to know from a police officer's point of view, if you've noticed this as well, that there don't seem to be as many stolen stereos from cars.
Yeah.
It's not so much breaking into cars and taking sound systems as it is trying to get people's identity. That's what people are doing now, right?
That's where the money is.
You know something? If I'm going to commit a crime and it's the psyche of the criminal, I want to weigh out what may happen to me, the pros or cons, if I break into this building, if I steal something from this car, this business, how big are my returns going to be for the risk to me as the criminal?
Right.
So what is happening in the technological era, the ability to take someone else's information or simply taking someone's credit card and be bold enough to go into a facility, a store, a building, and represent yourself as being the name on that card and what you will be able to buy. So fraud in and of itself in the technological era, or simply taking someone's banking cards, charge cards, and being able to get something, is proving easier and infinitely more profitable for the criminal intended person, because the payback to them is infinitely greater. I mean, that doesn't preclude the fact that what we're still dealing with is the opportunist, that if they see something of value in an unattended vehicle, that they may very well still take something from it. But again, it's the risk factor and it's the profit margin to the criminal of what he and or she or they are able to get back from this particular crime.
So they're after your information.
They are after your information. Listen, Jamie, you know, I think what you and Lisa have done over the years, I think you've been involved in a profession that I think is the coolest of ever. I consider myself privileged that you've invited me to do what I've done and to do it with you, actually.
There's going to be a but here. I know it.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact of the matter is, the potential of me becoming Jamie Patterson, I could create a Jamie Patterson.
Right.
I can
right.
cut and paste information about Jamie Patterson off right. the internet. Mm-hmm. Not only could I put it on the internet, I could hang it on my walls if I wanted to.
Okay, that's getting a
no,
bit creepy, Don.
But the
creepy.
Fact of the matter is our information is out there.
Yeah.
It's so easy to cut, paste, create, and fraudulently represent anybody as anybody else.
Well, and in many cases, we're the authors of our own misfortune
sure.
based on what we are putting on social media.
Oh, exactly. That's why I bring this full circle to that. Whenever you can do a transaction in person, you are actually presenting it. You have photo ID to back it up. And there's just so much more legitimacy to doing things that way.
Now, if you are lucky enough, your credit card is with a financial institution that gives you a heads up. Back many years ago, I was the treasurer for our union local at the radio station. And as a yearly thank you gift to all the members, we would give them $50 gift cards to either the Superstore or the Liquor Commission. And so as treasurer, it was my job to go and purchase these. And from our home in the Beaver Bank bunker to the Superstore in Sackville, I would go and make the purchases at the Superstore. I would use my MasterCard, my President's Choice MasterCard, because I would get the points. You know, I would go and I would buy the gift cards at the Superstore. I would walk down to the hall to the NSLC and purchase the cards there. It was roughly about $2,500 every December, first week of December, like clockwork. And every time, like clockwork, from the time it took me to drive from Sackville back home to Beaver Bank, there would be a message on the phone at home from President's Choice MasterCard saying, "We have detected an unusually large purchase. Please give us a call." And I would have to give them a call every December to tell them, "Nope, it's okay. I made that purchase."
It's great that the checks and balances exist because it's mutually beneficial for us to look after our finances.
Right.
Because it's many times when a credit card company says they will honor these things to make sure we get our money back, that still means that they themselves are going to be out the finances.
Yeah, exactly. They lose out.
Yeah. Mm. And you know something? If it ever happens to you that you do find your credit card is frozen for some reason, don't ever think for 1 minute it's because you've been involved in some sort of an impropriety. Stop, stand back, take a deep breath, find the phone number, give them a call, because chances are overwhelmingly when that happens, they've only frozen it for your benefit.
This is how we spend the afternoons when we're at the Jenkins Cottage, just yes. sitting around talking about credit card fraud. Erica, Dawn, thank you both for having us here at the cottage. And we're going to go stroll the beach and look for sea glass.
Excellent.